Jesus was coming back tomorrow. We don't, and he might, but if we knew he was coming back tomorrow, what would you do differently today? And I'll tell you, the correct answer to that is nothing. Because we'd already be doing the things that God wants us to do. So we have to live our lives with that in focus. We've said many times, you go down the road, you're driving 65 in a 65 mile an hour zone, and you see one of those silver cars in the middle, in the medium. What do? You let up on the gas. Why? Because you're being watched. You don't want to have a special party just for you off to the side of the road. With Jesus, it's no different. What should we be doing different today than we would do if we knew he was coming back tomorrow? Absolutely nothing. So we all have a ways to go. We all have things that we need to do. We need to return to the basic truth that our salvation is by grace through faith in Christ Jesus and not by works. There's absolutely nothing we can do to earn our salvation or to be worthy of it. Therefore, there's nothing we can do or fail to do that would cause us to forfeit it. And we kind of take comfort in that, and we kind of put our Christian lives on cruise control. But the issue that we're working on isn't our salvation. It's the impact that our life can have for the Lord Jesus Christ and the joy and the fulfillment that we receive from him. God doesn't call us, folks, to live an adequate life. He wants our lives to be extraordinary. However, if we're going to experience the life that God has planned for us, we have to stop being distracted by the urgent issues that we so often confront in life and focus our attention completely on him. The God who redeems us can teach us how to live for him. The Savior we trust for all of eternity is more than capable of taking care of all the urgent matters that come our way, the things that burden us on a daily basis. He's working through us so that others can know him and be saved. Because we can't earn our salvation, many often advocate the responsibility that we have to grow spiritually. We fail to translate our belief into action. And that's what we mean by spiritual discipline or spiritual formation. Spiritual discipline, when we look at it, is about us actively engaging with God and following his commandments. Paul told Timothy to raise himself to be godly. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7, it says, have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness. What are we doing today to train ourselves for godliness, to be more like the Lord Jesus on a day-to-day basis? Biblical spiritual discipline is an intentional effort to be godly, not in our own strength as we look at it from that, but in the power of Christ. John chapter 15, verse 5 says, I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit, but apart from me, you can do nothing. It's taking Jesus and saying, you have full power and full reign in my life to do whatever needs to be done so that I draw closer to you. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I commanded you. And surely I'm with you always, to the very end of the age. He says there in that key verse, teaching us to obey everything that God commands us. That part of the verse is too often omitted. We rather enjoy living the status quo in the Christian life because we're comfortable there. It's not pushing us outside of our comfort zones and in our range of things that we like to do. We emphasize justification, and that's great. But sanctification is also equally as important. We are to be disciples, doing the things that God commands us to do. The intent of spiritual discipline is to facilitate the Holy Spirit's inward transformation of our hearts, which is reflected through our behavior on a day-to-day basis. And it doesn't matter who you are, what stage of life you're in. You could be in school, you could be at work, you could be retired. It doesn't matter. We have to be willing to let God work in our hearts and lives in whatever way He says, and that's going to be reflected in our outward behavior. In essence, we cooperate with God's work by obeying the commands that He gives us in Scripture. The acts of Christian discipline are meant to draw us closer and closer and closer to God. They're the methods that we use to put off the old and to prepare our hearts for God to give us, make us a new person. Ephesians 4, verses 20 to 24, very key verses for us in our Christian lives. It says, "That, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in Him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." God puts us into a process when we get saved of putting off the old and putting on the new. And it's our responsibility to do the things, to put on the things that God wants us to have in our lives. 2 Peter 1, verses 3 to 9 sums up this whole area for us. It says, "His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness." Let's stop right there for a moment. God says, "I give you everything you need to live life in a godly way." It's not that I can't be like so-and-so, the spiritual giant. I can't be like Paul. I can't be like a Timothy or a Titus or any of those great people that we see in Scripture. That's the lie that the world tells us. God says, "I've given you everything that you need to pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of your sinful desires. For this very reason, I make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and with virtue, knowledge, and with knowledge, self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and brotherly affection with love. For these qualities are yours and are increasing. They keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, what does He just say there? He says, take and use your effort and put on, add to your